Good evening again. How's everyone? Everyone doing okay? Hanging tough. It's a tough week. Tough time for our community, but the Lord is doing some wonderful things through it all. And it's amazing how God is using his people in different ways. He has his men and women in strategic places all over the community helping. And I know God is doing great things. As you can see, we're going to take communion tonight. But before we do that, I want to put seven statements up on the screen that Jesus made. These are famous statements. These are called the I Am statements of Jesus, seven marvelous statements that Jesus made about himself in the Gospel of John. And I want to look at them briefly and just be reminded tonight of who Jesus is and how blessed we are to know him. Father, as we sit at your table tonight, we ask your blessing upon your people. Lord, as we draw near to you, you promise to draw near to us. Lord, remind us again tonight of how blessed we are in knowing you. Strengthen us that we may be courageous and faith-filled men and women in these dark days. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first I Am statement that I chose to put up tonight is found in John chapter 10. Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." There's beautiful imagery behind this statement. Oftentimes the shepherds, they'd take their flocks of sheep way out into the wilderness, miles away from villages and towns. So they'd be gone for several days, and they'd even have to camp out overnight. And so the shepherd would put together a little temporary sheep pen made out of rocks or wood or different pieces of materials. And at night, the sheep would be herded into those little temporary sheep pens for the night, for protection. There were no doors into those sheep pens. There was an entryway. And at night, guess where the shepherd would sleep? Right there in the entryway. That's the imagery behind the statement. Jesus says, "I'm the door." The shepherd would sleep right there. No wolves could get in. And literally, the sheep would have to go through the shepherd in order to get into the safety of that shelter. That's Jesus essentially saying this: I am the one and only entrance into eternally protected salvation. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So if you belong to Jesus Christ, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are saved. And you are protected. You are safe within his flock. No thief, no wolf could come against you. You have his shelter and his protection. And also you live in great freedom. I love it says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You can go in and out and you live in freedom and in much joy. I'm the door. I'm your entrance into salvation. The second one I chose is found in John chapter 14. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, if you remember, we studied this a couple Sundays ago. When Jesus made this statement, right before it, he had made a statement comforting his disciples who were troubled. And he said, "In my house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to yourself." So he's speaking to them about heaven, the wonderful joys of heaven. Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know the way." Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus is the one and only way to heaven. It is through Jesus exclusively that you can have access to God the Father. And if you are a Christian here tonight, if you have placed your faith in Christ Jesus, you are promised heaven. And you have access to God the Father anytime you want through Jesus Christ. I chose these first two statements. They're actually not the first two chronologically. I picked them because I think they both have to do with entrance into salvation, entrance into the family of God, into the kingdom of God. And it's very clear in the scripture. How many doors are there? There's one. How many ways? One. How many lives? One. How many truths? One. You know, we've often been accused of being narrow-minded as Christians. Actually, that's not true. We're closed-minded, aren't we? There's one way. Jesus is the only way. And my friend, if you belong to him, you are eternally protected in his kingdom. You are safe with him forever. You have the hope of heaven, and you have free access to the Father. How blessed are we? The next four statements that Jesus makes, I think, show us how blessed we are as Christians, as members of his family, as citizens of his kingdom. In John chapter 6, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is saying, "I am for you your total satisfaction. I meet all of your hunger, all of your thirst. You find complete satisfaction in me." Now, you remember that Jesus made this statement right on the heels of that spectacular miracle where he fed a multitude of people, like 15,000 to 20,000 people. Remember, they're way out in the wilderness. They've been listening to him all day. And it gets nighttime towards the evening. They're hungry. They're tired. And Jesus says, "Disciples, we need to feed these folks." And the disciples, boy, they were excited about that, weren't they? They had no idea. They searched the crowd. They found a kid with a lunchbox, 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish. "That's perfect," Jesus said. Divided the group up into different groups. And by the way, the barley loaves like crackers. The fish like sardines. two sardines, five crackers. He raised them up, he broke the bread, he prayed, and as you know, everyone was fed to overflowing, and they had plenty of food left over. That was the miracle that really, really catapulted Jesus into this popularity. When he did that, everyone thought that he was in fact the Messiah, that he was the one who would take care of all of their material blessings. At that point, they began to see Jesus like Moses, who would lead his people out of Egypt, feed them with bread every morning, manna. They were convinced that Jesus would be that king who would come along and conquer the Roman Empire, set up his kingdom, and all of that. And if you remember, Jesus pushed back against that. He said to them, I do take care of material blessings, but don't look at me as only your materialistic savior. I've come for much more than that. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. In other words, Jesus said, I came for your spiritual satisfaction, your spiritual nourishment. I will meet your deepest needs. I will give you purpose for all of life. And he gives that to us as his people. He really does. When you find salvation in Jesus Christ and he becomes a part of your life, he meets your deepest need, doesn't he? He really does. He satisfies your deepest longing. The search is over. You've found purpose. And you're so blessed to have that, Christian. There are so many people that are looking, you know, for different bread, different water, different wells to drink out of, and they try to find that satisfaction and the meaning, and they go from well to well, from experience to experience. And maybe they get a little bit of temporary satisfaction, but not that deep inner satisfaction that only Jesus can give. Have you found Jesus to be good? I'm telling you, man. I remember when I came to the Lord, and then later when I returned to the Lord, for those of you who know my testimony, man, the search was over. I found everything that I needed in Christ Jesus. And we're blessed to have that. He's your bread. He's your nourishment. And by the way, he wants to satisfy you and nourish you every single day. Don't think of Christianity as a religion. Think of Christianity as a day-by-day walk with Jesus and spend time with him. And he'll satisfy you every single day. He'll nourish you every single day. I'm the bread of life. In John chapter 8, it says, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I love this one. Jesus is our light. If you belong to Christ, Jesus has turned the lights on. He's opened your eyes. He's opened your eyes to truth. He's opened your eyes to the direction that you need to take in life. And please understand how important that is and how supernatural that is and how blessed you are, because this is a very dark world. And there are people all around us that are blind. And they walk in darkness. And they buy all of the worldly philosophies. And they buy all of the lies of the enemies and all of the false teachings and all of the false religions. You know, the world tells people that you're random, that you evolved from a monkey, that you're nothing but, you know, random chance chemicals getting together and poof, out comes the human race. And people live that way. But we know the truth. We know the truth that we were created in God's image, amen? With personality and just like Him, and there's purpose. Your eyes have been opened to that. There are people who buy the philosophy of this world that you just live for today, nothing happens after this life, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And there's people that get absolutely immersed in that type of lifestyle. And they bring such destruction upon themselves and others. Your eyes have been opened to the truth. Jesus is your Savior, and you found joy in Him. And you recognize that there's a lot more than just this life. And you're living for that life. I think of all the people that are caught up in legalistic religions, thinking that they're impressing God, following laws and regulations, and false religious leaders. And the people that get all caught up in these religious exercises, and really they're just imprisoned to religion. And there's no freedom, and there's no salvation, and there's no joy. Listen, if you're a Christian here tonight, the blinders have come off. Don't ever forget the privileged position that is. There are people all around you grasping for truth, longing for meaning, longing for direction in life. And for you, the lights have been turned on. You know, Jesus even told his disciples at one time, blessed are you because you see the things that you see. People have longed to see what you see. And you get to see Him. He's our light. And you know what? He illuminates our path in life too, doesn't He? He shows us steps to take. What a blessing. I've always loved this verse because it says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Literally, if you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have His light in you. In fact, the light of Christ reflects from you. Think of that. And so not only are you blessed because your eyes have been opened, but you can live your life being a light to other people all around you walking in darkness. I pray that people look at your light, your life, and they have to like shade themselves because you shine so brightly for Jesus. What a blessing. John chapter 10. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. I love this. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, He is your shepherd. And I want you to remember what shepherds were like in ancient times. The best shepherds owned their own sheep. And they took much pride in making sure that their sheep were the best cared for, the best loved, taken to the best pasture, beside the greatest waters, happy, healthy. Literally, the shepherds took ownership for every detail of their sheep's life. Jesus, if you belong to Him, is your shepherd, and He has taken ownership of every detail of your life. And He wants you to be the best cared for, best loved, happiest, healthiest person that you can possibly be. That's His plan for you. Psalm 23. I always think of Psalm 23 when I think of this I am statement. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I love that. David's bragging in that psalm. You know what he's bragging about? How good he has it in life because the Lord is his shepherd. He says, "I'm so blessed. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." In other words, I found complete and total satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me to the best spots in life. The best pastures, the best waters. The Lord is my shepherd, and he protects me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd, he provides for me. He meets all my needs. The Lord is my shepherd, and he just pours out blessing upon my life. David says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." It's not just full, it runs over. The Lord is your shepherd. He'll be there when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He says, "I fear no evil, because you're with me, even in the valley of the shadow of death." You know, David eventually died, didn't he? And when he died, the shepherd was there for him. Took him through the valley. Death for a Christian is not a valley that you stay in. It's a valley that you walk through. It's a shadow. It's a move. The moment you take your last breath, the shepherd comes for you and takes you right into his presence. And then I love, David says, "I'm so blessed in this life. He'll take care of me at the moment of my death." And then, as if to add even more at the end, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." How long? Forever. It's like, he's such a good shepherd. He takes care of every aspect of this life. He'll be there for you at the moment of your death. And he'll take care of you forever in the Father's house. You're covered in every direction. What a good shepherd. Takes ownership of every detail of your life. Such a blessing. John 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Okay, now the scene switches to a vineyard. God the Father in this chapter is the vine dresser. He's the gardener. He's planted the vine. And the whole, if you read this context, the whole purpose of that vineyard is to make the branches as fruitful as possible. God plants this vineyard. He works at it. Jesus says, "I'm the vine. We as his people are the branches. We're connected to the vine. And everything is done in your life to make you as fruitful as you possibly can be in this life." What kind of fruit do we produce as Christians? Well, the Bible speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. kindness, gentleness, love, self-control, joy. God wants to produce all of that in your life, transform you. The Bible also speaks about the fruit of praise. We've been saved to praise Him. He wants to make you a worshiper. And then the Bible also speaks of fruit as converts. People that come to Christ through your life, through your witness, through your testimony, through your light. The Lord wants you to be as fruitful as you possibly can. All right. So, do we have to work at it ourselves? How do we produce fruit? We have to work at it? What does it say in this statement? Who's the source of our fruit? Jesus. We don't try to produce the fruit in our life. We bear fruit that's been produced in our life by the vine. And you know what our job is to do? Hang in there. Stay connected to the vine. It says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. What that means, my brother and sister in Christ, is all fruit will come through your connection to the vine. So nurture your relationship with Jesus Christ. Spend time with him. Spend time in his word. Spend time praying. All of the Christian disciplines, those are all meant not to be things that you check off, but things to enhance, to grow your personal connection to Jesus Christ. And as you do that, fruit will bear forth from your life. Have you ever noticed that the longer you hang out with somebody, the more you start to talk like them? Have you noticed that husbands and wives that have been married for many years, they finish each other's sentences, right? They talk. They know each other so well. The more you spend time with someone, the more you talk like them, the more you become like them. And that works with Jesus. The more you spend time with him, and I mean draw in, draw near to him, the more you'll talk like him, the more you'll live like him. He'll bear fruit in your life. So think of that. He's your satisfaction. He's your nourishment. He's the source of truth and guidance for you. He's the shepherd who takes ownership of your life, and he is your source of fruitfulness. There's one more statement that he makes, and I save this for last because I think it has to do with our future. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus died. You remember the story? Mary and Martha are heartbroken. They're the sisters. Jesus starts to come to Bethany. Martha runs out to meet Jesus. Jesus is there. She says to him, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And remember what she said? I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And that's when Jesus made this statement. No, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. In other words, Martha, I'm in charge of resurrection. I'm in charge of life and death. I can raise anybody up whenever I want. And I'm going to prove that right now by raising Lazarus from the dead, which he does. Spectacular miracle. All that points towards our future. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you die, you live. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you die physically, you will live. He has that promise for you. We know that the New Testament teaches the moment a Christian dies, they go into the very presence of the Lord. And then one day, there's going to be a resurrection. And we will all be given brand new glorified bodies, fit for heaven. We'll move into our mansions, that glorious place called heaven. Jesus is your future. You are secure. I love these statements. Think about them often. Remember them. He's your door. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's your security. He's your protection. He's your hope in heaven. He's your access to God the Father. Your nourishment. Your satisfaction. Your truth. Your guidance. Your provision. Your protection, your blessing. He's your hope. He's your future. Your resurrection. Your home in heaven. You take all that together and you find out Jesus is everything. Everything that we need. Everything that we could possibly hope for or want, both now and forever. And if you're out running around in the world looking for other things, you're going to be disappointed. Only Jesus can be what we need. And he's that. And as we sit at the communion table, we also consider this amazing truth. He gave everything so that he could be our everything. We sit at the table and we remember that he's the Savior. He left heaven, went to the cross, took our sins, died in our place. His sacrifice on the cross for our sins makes it possible for him to be the door, the way, the truth, the life, the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the vine, and the resurrection and the life. That's what's so incredible about Jesus. He gave everything to be everything for you. He loves you. And he will be everything for us. And tonight, when we sit at the communion table, we remember the great sacrifice of Jesus and what it's led to. In just a few moments, we're going to hand out these elements. We're going to turn the lights down. Our worship team's going to come on. I want you to stay very reverent before the Lord tonight. And as you hold these elements in your hands, I want you to remember the cost. And I want you to remember everything that he is to you. Draw close to him. The Bible says that we should also examine our hearts. If you've walked away from him, if you rebelled against him, right now, tonight, return. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Your love truly is amazing, Lord. You love us like no other could love us. You've demonstrated your love. You have so many wonderful things in store for us. Lord, remind us of the incredible privileges that we hold as your people. Or just the fact that we found meaning. We found purpose. Our eyes have been opened. Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray that we would not take that for granted. That our lives would in fact be different among other people. We praise you, Lord. And then, Father, I want to pray for anyone here tonight. Maybe you've never received Christ. You've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior. Listen, he died on the cross for you. He died for your sins. Paid the price for your sins. And rose again. And he asks you to place your faith in him. Put your faith in him tonight. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. And what he did for your cross becomes applied to you personally. As you come to him personally, he saves you personally. And then he will personally be your shepherd, your light, the bread of life, the vine. If you've never received him, I want you to have an opportunity to do that before we hand out these elements. If that's you, just in the quietness of your heart, say, Lord Jesus, I receive you right now into my life. I place my faith in you right now. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I admit my sinfulness. I need to be forgiven. Wash away all my sins. Help me to follow you. Those brothers that are going to help me distribute, why don't you come on down? Please worship the Lord, draw near to the Lord, thank the Lord. Come back to the Lord. Draw near to the Lord. Commune with the Lord. Lord, how wonderful it is to have this moment just focused on you, remembering what you've done, remembering how good you are. Lord, remembering all the promises that we have in knowing you, all the hope that we have in you. Strengthen us tonight. Lord, strengthen us in faith. I pray that we would shine your light brightly in this community. Lord, help us to live for you. You gave all for us, so help us to live for you. We do thank you, Lord, for your tremendous sacrifice. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember what he did. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. I'd like us to enter into a few minutes of prayer, prayer as a body. I do know that I do want to pray for our dear brother Mark Seglio. He is still in the hospital, still fighting, still enduring. Things are getting better, but he and Mary are, it's a fight. And so we need to kind of be like the guys that held Moses' hands up, you remember that story? Let's hold their hands up. So we want to pray for Mark and Mary. And so I'm going to pray for them, and I'd like you to join me in prayer with them. And then let's go into a quiet time. And if you would like to pray a prayer, again, for our community, for healing in this community, whatever the Lord leads. All right? Father, we come to you now, and we believe that you have all power. And we believe that you can heal Mark just by speaking the word right now. Lord, I pray that you would help that body to turn back on. God, I pray that you would help him in the fight. I pray that you would encourage them greatly tonight. Help them to hold on to you. Lord, heal them. Get Mark through this, Lord. I know you can get him through it. In Jesus' name we pray.